This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump rejected an Israeli plan in recent days to kill Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, say two U.S. officials to ABC News. When asked about it, no comment from the Israeli Prime Minister. Warning sirens in Jerusalem. Though the Israeli military says it shot down over 100 Iranian missiles so far, 15% of what Iran is firing at Israel is getting through the air defenses, says Israel's ambassador to the U.S. The Iranian health ministry says at least 224 people were killed since the Israeli attack started, and over 1,200 others were injured. Sources tell ABC News that law enforcement officers are searching an area in Sibley County outside Minneapolis for the suspected shooter of Minnesota lawmakers. They found a vehicle and personal items that may be connected. West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrisey updating that four people are dead, four others missing, following severe flash flooding in Ohio County. This is ABC News. More jury deliberations tomorrow in Karen Reed's murder retrial. Reed's charged with killing her Boston police officer boyfriend in 2022 by hitting him with her car and leaving him to die in a blizzard. The first trial ending in a hung jury. ABC News legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer.
When it comes to the jury instructions, it's almost like you have to go to law school. It basically reads, if this, then go to this. If not this, then go to this. If not this, don't consider this, consider something else. And what the defense is arguing here is that similar to the first trial, it's very confusing for a juror, and they are worried that they're going to have the same result as the first trial.
Our Brian Buckmeyer. Tomorrow, when the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking trial resumes in New York, one issue expected to come up is whether a juror lied to get on the panel. The judge said he'd think about it over the weekend. ABC News has been told it's possible Ye, the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, will make another appearance at the trial early this week. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. Southwest Wisconsin is seeing a surge in clean energy, emerging as a hotbed for large-scale renewable projects. Proponents say they're economically benefiting the community. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
About 10% of Wisconsin's electricity is from renewable sources. The industry employs about 6,500 people and invests $15.5 million a year in property, state, and local taxes, and more than $15 million annually in land lease payments. Caden Crapp with the Wisconsin Land and Liberty Coalition says along with the economic benefits, clean energy has the potential to provide the state with autonomy.
One of the biggest benefits that including these renewable energies into the state grid can bring is that we can start becoming a net exporter by being able to create our own Wisconsin-grown energy and be able to distribute it to other states as well.
A number of proposed projects are slated for the area, including the Whitetail Energy Center, the Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center, and the Uplands Wind Project. Each is projected to generate millions of dollars annually and collectively produce hundreds of megawatts of energy to power homes and businesses across the state. Amy Seaboth Wilson with Southwest Wisconsin Technical College says the school is leading the pack in innovation. She says it offers degrees to prepare students for the rising industry. The renewable energy influx has faced some controversy, with critics saying they replace some of the state's agricultural uses. Opponents say less than 2% of Wisconsin's 14 million acres of agricultural land would be needed to reach the state's clean energy goals. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 63. Mostly sunny Monday, highs in the mid-80s. Monday night, a shower or thunderstorm possible, a low of 66. Showers and storms are likely for Tuesday, highs in the upper 80s. Wednesday, more showers and storms.
It's 73 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll talk with Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch about the weekend headlines and also check in with Clean Wisconsin on Pollinator Month. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up first, we have the Maggie Dawn Show. The Maggie Dawn Show welcomes Representative Renuka Mayadev to unpack the devastating implications of the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. Representative Mayadev outlines her bold self-help legislation designed to counteract Trump-era federal overreach by hitting it financially.
Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. How you doing this, at least down here in southeastern Wisconsin, finally toasty summer afternoon? We only get a few days of summer every year. I am enjoying feeling the heat. We are going to have a hot show for you today, as we always do, stacked with incredible guests. Of course, I have to talk about the billionaire boys who apparently have made up. All's good. I don't know. If I was Elon Musk, I probably wouldn't want to be threatening the man that can pull billions and billions of dollars, and Trump's words here, not mine, government subsidies to my many fledgling companies who share value may have gone down precipitously. I don't know. We're going to talk about all of the things. We're going to talk about the new economic indicators. We are going to be talking, of course, about the mobilization, the deployment. The Marines are coming. They aren't yet in Los Angeles. They will be. We will talk about all of it and so much more. And of course, it is the last week of Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win giveaway, where you can win $100 or Brewers tickets every day during the 4 o'clock hour and get entered to win, of course, one of our grand prizes. We got summer getaways. We even include your gas money. It's all good fun. Going to Wisconsin Dells and Door County. Listen, I have to tell you, one of my favorite supper clubs is just outside of Wisconsin Dells. It's called Ishnawa. It's literally in the woods. You drive. It's very relaxing. It's a curvy road. It's beautiful. It's on a lake. And so it is only fitting that our word of the hour this afternoon is supper, S-U-P-P-E-R, as in the thing that we eat in Wisconsin. But folks on either coast don't know what we're talking about. Yes, a supper club, S-U-P-P-E-R, is the word of the hour. You got to text that in via the Civic Media app. You can get that app for free. If you don't have it, you have all hour to text it in. Download that puppy and text in the word supper, S-U-P-P-E-R. Enough of all that fun stuff and yucks. Let's get to the business of the day. We got a fine guest joining us right off the top. It is Representative Renuka Mayadev from Assembly District 77. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm so happy to have you, Representative.
Thank you, Maggie. Very happy to be here with you.
And happy, finally, some summerish weather. Let's hope we can keep it.
Yes, yes. Yesterday I was wearing wool. Today I'm wearing linen. So, you know,
yes,
we're staying flexible.
Just like supper clubs, the Wisconsin thing about the weather is if you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. It'll change. Now, you were born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. I'm kind of a Milwaukee sister city. I like Columbus. I can get down there. That's a good fun spot. But you decided to run for elected office in 2024. Bless your heart, as they say in the southern parts of this country. Before we get to the reason that you're here, I just want people to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why the heck did you decide, oh yeah, in the midst of all of this unity and just good collective feeling in our country, I know I'll run for elected office.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of work to do. I've been working for women, children, and working families all of my career. I've had the honor of working for Marion Wright Edelman, who's a civil rights leader who worked with Dr. King, you may know. And she founded the Children's Defense Fund. And so I worked for her fighting for children, children who can't vote, who can't lobby, they can't speak for themselves. And so I was learned from her what it means to fight back when you see injustice. And so what I saw across the country and here in Wisconsin is that, you know, our rights were at stake. The needs of women weren't being met. Actually, the last job I had before I joined the assembly in January was at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, where I worked on maternal child health issues. And I saw things like postpartum Medicaid not being done in our state. Still not done.
Still not done.
The last two, Maggie.
Oy.
Us in Arkansas. It's ridiculous. And I said, you know what? I got to run.
To all the Arkansans listening, I'm sorry, but I don't really consider Arkansas the company I want my state to keep when it comes to certain statistics.
No. We don't want to be in line with Governor Huckabee on anything.
No. A couple of things. First of all, you're also have an undergrad in economics. You are also a lawyer. So it's like, why have the representative and I not done this sooner? Because we have all of these wonderful things in common. And before we get again to the specific reason that you're here, I wanted to ask you one of the most shocking things to me about Donald Trump's deportation program and the MAGA regime is what we are now seeing in immigration courts across the country. And that is immigrant children in court with no lawyer, just there. There are many things I've seen in courtrooms that have broken my heart over my 25-some years of practicing. But that, to me, was those images and hearing some of the recordings of those hearings. That's us failing. Just to get your reaction as a lifelong advocate for kids.
Yes. I mean, it's heartbreaking. And I actually did some of that work representing children in administrative court when they are unaccompanied minors. Yeah. And it's so, so sad because they're on their own and they're at the whim of our president and his cruel behavior. Yeah. It's not the principles that we're founded on in this country. I'm, in fact, a daughter of immigrants. Actually, we started the inaugural Asian caucus this year. We finally had more than one member. The first was Representative Hong from Madison.
Yes, Francesca. Woo-hoo!
Francesca, who's terrific. Yes. She's now joined by two others. And so Representative Tenorio out of West Allis and then myself. And so we're all children of immigrants. And so it means a lot to us to be able to bring that experience to the Capitol and being able to stand up, especially in this time where we're seeing the actions coming out of Washington, D.C. are just to instill fear and are unwelcoming to our immigrant people and our family.
It is the politics of intimidation at every level, right? With the ultimate objective clearly being to intimidate people into silence, right?
That's right.
No room for dissent, which is the absolute opposite of what we aspire to be as a democracy.
That's exactly
And right. just a wee editorial note for me, Representative. I always find it interesting that so many, the diaspora of Asian, like folks from literally swath of the globe. It's like, oh, Asian. Yeah. Anyway, that is a topic for another day. Maybe we can get the entire Asian caucus on the show and talk about that. That would be so amazing. Please give my best to Representatives Hong and Tenorio. Tell me, say the name of the...
Tenorio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Angelito.
I wrote it down and can't read my own writing. But that would be absolutely amazing. Yeah. With all of that as prequel, let's get to the meat and potatoes of why you are here today.
Yeah.
You have helped spearhead some legislation that is aimed at correcting what I'm going to call system failure. Tell us about it. And then we'll talk about the odds of success in a bit. And folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Representative Renuka Mayadev of the Assembly District 77 with us, part of a group of Dems that are forwarding some new legislation. Do tell.
Yeah. So we have to fight back, right?
Yes.
So we are in unprecedented times. We're in a constitutional crisis. There's no more. Are we? Aren't we? We are, right? We are. And so my Democratic colleagues and I are saying we need to stand up to President Trump and the unlawful, unconstitutional behavior that's been happening since he was inaugurated. And so we have to get creative. We have to think about what can we do to fight back. And so for me, the one language that President Trump and his billionaire buddies understand is what?
Money.
They understand money. They're all about enriching themselves. That's the only reason why they're there. That's why I'm sure Mr. Musk is now making up, because the dollar signs are clear that he's going to lose money if he's not friends with the bully in chief.
Yeah, of course.
And so now they're making up. So I said, what can we do to speak their language? And that's why I authored two bills. And one of them is about really plain and simple. If you, President Trump, and your administration are holding back illegally funds that are destined for the taxpayers of Wisconsin for their essential services and the programs, then we're going to hold back a dollar that we owe you. It's really plain and simple. And, you know, taxpayers, they're smart. They understand we need to pay their bills. But if you're not paying your bills,
right,
we're not going to pay ours. And so one bill says we're going to hold back payments if you're withholding payments illegally from us. And then the other bill is about putting a lien on federal property to keep Wisconsin whole, to secure an interest in the monies that are due to us and Wisconsin taxpayers. If you're not going to pay our bills, you've got lots of federal property in Wisconsin. We can put a lien. And people know what a lien is.
Yes.
And so we just need to speak the language that they understand.
This I loved these bills, and apologies for calling it a bill. It's two. They operate in the same vein. And I'm gonna newly rename these because it smacked so much of good smart lawyering. And I'm gonna put some credit at your feet there.
I love it.
These
Maggie.
old things that we learn in our first contracts course, things like self-help and making yourself whole. I'm gonna call this the Wisconsinites self-help make whole set of bills, because
I love it.
That's what you're proposing to do. These are age old equitable remedies that have literally existed since oldie English common law. I absolutely love it. The Make Whole Self-Help Bills, co-authored by my guest today, Representative Renuka Mayadev of Assembly District 77. Okay, now the harder part. What do you give the odds of success? Getting some good bipartisan cooperation from the MAGA regime in Madison, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, I should. Here's
you
what
should.
I'll say. I should be getting my Republican colleagues on these bills because they care about their constituents, or they should. And when the USDA is holding back funds, and when Head Start can't operate and their constituents can't go to work because the child care center closed, because the money's not coming in. But, you know, You're right.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten any co-sponsors yet coming to my door.
We're to talk more about these bills and the hypocrisy of claiming to be pro-taxpayer and failing to do the things to protect taxpayers and residents in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got Representative Reynuka Mayadev. This discussion continues on the other side.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the Center, WRCE.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Now we have Mino and the Mayor, joined by Lauren Kniesbeck and Lutia Vandervelden from New Leaf Foods, discussing an upcoming roundtable event focused on climate change's impact on food supply and distribution. Attendees will leave with actionable steps from policy advocacy to personal diet changes.
Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Lauren Kniesbeck and Lutia Vandervelden, New Leaf Foods, Climate, Food, and Policy Roundtable. And Lutia, I give you credit, being a native of Dallas and moving up here to Green Bay, and you're staying loyal to your fellas down there in Texas.
I am. Even though some days it can be a little hard to be a Cowboys fan.
We went through that here, too, so hang in there.
But you know what's funny is when Coach McCarthy was there, I was like a big Cowboy fan.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously,
yeah.
But it's like I really pulled for him so much that that's a tough gig down there with Jerry Jones and everything, isn't it?
I don't want to say too much about it, but indeed, I would say yes, it is.
Who's more passionate, Packer fans or Cowboy fans?
Well, but
hard-hitting question.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
You guys are America's team. You got the most.
Yeah.
People love the Cowboys, but boy, you've had a dry spell.
Yes. Yeah.
And longer than when you think, well, it wasn't that long ago that you guys won, but it was a long time ago.
It's been a while. Well, I mean, my favorite Cowboys player of all time was Jason Witten, and he never got a ring, and so that's something that I take personally, to be honest. So.
Right. But I would agree that your ownership is significantly different than ours,
yes,
right? And
yes.
Than anybody's, really. And after the games, all the press conferences, they go to Jerry Jones. What mm-hmm. other team goes to the GM? You know, they usually go to the coach or, you know, it's just, but I don't know. He's Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean,
I hope you do. I like the stadium, and like I said, I have friends down there. I've gone to a few games, but anyway, we're still going to work on you though. Don't think we're going to let you off the hook. You know, we will still try to convert you. So this thing is coming up on the 14th. You have this educational seminar on that you're sponsoring. It has a lot to do with food supply, the climate change. So many great speakers coming in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what I like about this, and I want to talk a little bit more about who you want to attend. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're going to leave with something to do, and I think that's really important.
And then one other thing I want to talk about is the two community orchards going up in Bellevue.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead. Take it away.
True. So if we're going to talk about the orchards, that's tomorrow actually going up.
Yep. 10 o'clock, Moonrise Park.
Yep, he's got it. So we're actually looking for anyone who wants to help, like, install those trees. You are totally welcome
Jim,
to come.
This would be perfect for you for your
orchard.
Yeah, you
can learn. Yeah.
Yeah. What time? No, I am really interested in that. I got to tell you, when you were in here, when I was a while ago, but I didn't know we could grow all those trees in Green Bay. I'll be mm-hmm. honest with you.
I didn't either. I thought they were like Texas or Florida or California things.
Right. I knew everybody knows apple trees, right? Because everybody had those when they were a kid. But I just, 4 or 5 different types of trees here in Green Bay. I think that's like really cool.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, if you wanted to come tomorrow, you can see more trees that we're going to install. But
what are you planting tomorrow? And what do you need?
Tomorrow is the Village of Bellevue Parks, Rec, and Forestry is mm-hmm. more in charge of the trees being installed, so we don't even know what we're installing.
Okay.
But, you know, it'll be a nice handful of trees at each park. And the second park, Bethel Edible Forest, they're going to talk about, you know, their mission for that park in the future, because they're trying to build what I would imagine is similar to our, like, Seymour Park Food Forest,
but
in the Village of Bellevue. So
it's tomorrow, beginning at 10 o'clock, yep. Moonrise Park, mm-hmm. Moonrise Court in Bellevue, and then the Village of Bellevue Parks, Rec, and Forestry Department are coming together to install both of them, but mm-hmm. they are looking for volunteers, right, for both Moonrise Park and the Bellevue Park, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So the trees we plant.
Or Bethel Park.
Bethel Park.
Yeah. The trees you plant tomorrow, when will be able to eat fruit off of them? 2 years, 3 years?
You know, that's probably a question for the Village of Bellevue, but I would say usually the nurseries that we get these plants from, they don't, you know, grow them all the way till they can, you know, become fruit bearing, because it's just a lot of money put in to raise them for 5+ years. So they usually raise them before they're able to bear fruit. So I would say probably like a few years. Lutia, I don't know if you have anything to say on that as well.
I'm going to go. You know what? I'm going. Yep, I'm going to find that out, because that's interesting mm-hmm. to me. I don't want to plant the tree and have it not.
Yeah, but you can see how they do it, because there's a technique to planting.
And,
also, the more mature the tree is, the more expensive it's going to be.
Yeah.
So if you can have like a little trust in the process and get it earlier when it's more of like a seedling or, you know, something smaller, it's going to be more affordable, too.
I'm not going to wait 5-6 years.
He's no pick. Then on June 14th from 9 to 1 is your big meet. Go ahead once again, talk with us. NWTC Great Lakes Energy Education Center, 2701 Larson Road in Green Bay. People, do you want them to reserve a spot or to register? Okay, go ahead and talk with those if you don't mind.
Yes, so you can go to the Newly Foods website and navigate to our events page, and you can register there. You could also go to our Instagram and go to the link in our bio and register there. We do want you to register. You unfortunately missed the deadline to be able to have lunch when you register, so you can just register for no lunch.
So it's $10.
$10. Still a really good time to learn about the food, climate, and policy things.
Although I'm surprised what you're serving for lunch until I read the whole thing. You're having a taco bar.
Yes, taco bar.
But talk about all local producers.
Yes. Yeah. That's why the deadline for food was also kind of pushed up for us, is because they're smaller, you know, more locally sourced things, so they need to know ahead of time.
Well, I think that food co-op thing is still something to kind of look
think
at
about
one more
for
time
the future.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's successful ones, like it's just Oshkosh. There's not a huge difference between Green
there's
Bay
no
and
reason for it not to work here.
Same kind of.
But again, you got to get that big sponsor or something to have that seed money. Kind of.
Yeah, that's
Jim
that's
can step up.
Absolutely.
I got dude, I got the orchard I got to take care of. Let me do that first.
I'm going to note that down.
Please do.
He says it's going to cost me money because I want those trees to bear fruit like in a year or two. I'm not going to wait 6-7 years till my kids are in high school.
You better get them planted now, Jim.
I know. That's exactly what she's telling me. I'm going to go tomorrow. I will be there at 10 o'clock. I want to see that.
Yeah, you should be. I will. I'll be there.
Take some pictures.
Yeah, well, that's going to be fun. We'll talk about that. That'll be
awesome. I'll tell you what, they sure got two great spokespersons.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
You guys are fantastic.
Well, thanks for having us. Yeah,
anytime. Glad to support you.
Come back and tell us how the seminar went and then update us on this orchard thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Lauren and Lutia. Lutia is a Dallas Cowboys fan. Just throwing that out there for us.
Not letting you off.
Throwing it out there. Back at this. So keep it.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump rejected an Israeli plan in recent days to kill Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, say two U.S. officials to ABC News. When asked about it, no comment from the Israeli Prime Minister. Warning sirens in Jerusalem. Though the Israeli military says it shot down over 100 Iranian missiles so far, 15% of what Iran is firing at Israel is getting through the air defenses, says Israel's ambassador to the U.S. The Iranian health ministry says at least 224 people were killed since the Israeli attack started, and over 1,200 others were injured. Sources tell ABC News that law enforcement officers are searching an area in Sibley County outside Minneapolis for the suspected shooter of Minnesota lawmakers. They found a vehicle and personal items that may be connected. West Virginia Governor Patrick Morrisey updating that four people are dead, four others missing, following severe flash flooding in Ohio County. This is ABC News.
The Brewers closed their homestand. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their longest homestand of the season when they complete their four-game series against the Cardinals today. Milwaukee losing 8-5 last night. It was a rough day for Brewers lefty Jose Quintana, who gave up 7 runs before being sent to the showers early in the fifth. Now, Quintana had missed some time earlier with a sore left shoulder, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana's a veteran. I don't know how many years he's been pitching in big leagues. 12?
14.
14 years in the big leagues pitching. He's a pro. I trust him. You know, didn't have his best stuff today. He isn't on it last couple outings. He'd be the first to tell you he didn't have his great stuff today and didn't have his location.
Murph, since Quintana came back, have you seen a little less sharpness?
Yeah, for sure. Hasn't been as sharp, hasn't located the ball the way he needs to, for sure.
The Brewers will have tomorrow off, then face the Cubs Tuesday night in Chicago. Cubs beat the Pirates yesterday 2-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Ted Lasso star Jason Sudeikis learned a lot from his uncle, George Wendt. On a recent episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, actor, writer, producer Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, told Ted Danson that Sudeikis found out about his uncle's death while in the writer's room at Ted Lasso, then added that they matched tears with laughter by watching compilations of George Wendt as Norm. Orlando Bloom is alive and well after his surgery. No reason to panic, Bloom fans. The actor had elective surgery, which was a blood filter procedure to remove microplastics or forever chemicals from his blood. The procedure is only available at one clinic in London, according to Collider. If you're thinking about checking out this procedure, just know that it costs 10 grand. Let's be honest, most of us will just have to cross our fingers and hope that having Tupperware in our blood isn't as bad as experts say. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 63. Mostly sunny Monday, highs in the mid-80s. Monday night, a shower or thunderstorm possible, a low of 66. Showers and storms are likely for Tuesday, highs in the upper 80s. Wednesday, more showers and storms.
Currently, 72 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. On the Todd Albaugh Show this week, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, joins the show to talk about a piece of his making some waves. In his latest article, Dan lays out why he believes that Governor Tony Evers should pass the torch and not run for a third term in 2026.
Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Wednesday, June 11th. Been getting a lot of angry texts. This one from L.A. Tom, promoting this segment all show long. I said, later on, hour two, we're going to talk about the big parade on Saturday. L.A. Tom, out in Los Angeles, says, can we quit calling it the big parade like it's a celebration, Todd, and call it the fascist parade? Because that's what it is for this dictator. L.A. Tom's talking about. Now, I don't think that's nice at all. Because joining us via StreamYard from downtown Baraboo, the downtown manager of Downtown Baraboo, Inc., Seth Taft. Seth, welcome to the show. First of all, for those watching on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, he's wearing a beautiful red nose. This is not talking about clowns in D.C. Seth, there's another parade on Saturday.
Oh, and it's big. It is big. You know what? I'm probably going to be stuffing my nose too much with this red nose. So we're going to take it off to sound a little more eloquent here. First, thanks for having me on the show. It is a wonderful time here in what is known as Circus City in Baraboo with the beloved return this summer of the Big Top Parade. And yes, it is big and it is fun and it's full of clowns, lots of clowns and plenty more galore with circus wagons and just celebrating our beloved circus heritage. And there's plenty more leading into it this coming Saturday, which starts at 11 o'clock, but there's more happening tomorrow night that I'm happy to talk about how we celebrate this week with Circus Parade, the Big Top Parade.
So there we go. There's the reveal. We're not talking about the parade happening in D.C. this weekend. We're talking about the parade happening here in Wisconsin, specifically in downtown Baraboo. If you're from other parts of the state, not familiar, Baraboo is a beautiful community. It is just south of Wisconsin Dells. Like a lot more people might know Wisconsin Dells from taking trips there. But it is the home to the Circus World Museum, one of the gems, in my honest opinion, someone who's been there several times, one of the gems of Wisconsin tourism in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, you nailed it right on the head. I mean, it's, you know, a little bit about the background for the circus history here. I mean, it's been known as Circus City here in Baraboo because of the Ringling Brothers. You know, they established their winter quarters here in Baraboo and especially their headquarters here, and from 1884 to 1918, taking their show across town. But Baraboo became the hub. And so we are delighted to continue to hone in on that circus heritage here today. You know, we have plenty, like I said, plenty of clowns, not just in the parade, but year round with our wonderful characters in our community. But the parade has been going on in Baraboo for at least 11 years, but it's got even deeper history, deeper roots beyond that. It started to be known, it was first known as the Great Circus Parade, went from 1963 to 2009, and it was really established more in Milwaukee, sometimes in Chicago, but it was hosted at one time during that time period in 1984 here in Baraboo to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Ringling Brothers Circus.
That's right. So
I used to work for State Senator Dale Schultz, and Baraboo was in his district for a number of years. And for a long time, as you said, it was the circus parades in Milwaukee. And so they would have the circus train where they load up these beautiful, historic wagons onto the train in Baraboo, and it would make its way down to Milwaukee. It was a huge deal of all kinds of stops. Well, for various assorted and sundry reasons, the finances weren't there for that. And people were fearful that, oh my God, we'd never get to see these beautiful artifacts unless we visit Circus World. But the local folks in Baraboo stepped up and said, no, 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 we're still going to have a parade. And what do you say, 11, 12 years now, it's been going on in Baraboo, right?
Yeah. So eventually by 2009, it just, let's just call it a sabbatical. It took a break. And then in 2013, it made its humble return, renamed as the Big Top Parade, which is known as today. And so it's always been a fixture for the summer season for the peak tourism time here in downtown Baraboo. So a lot of our small businesses take immense pride in this week when we lead up to the parade, decorating their storefronts. This year in particular, we're doing a tour of wagons art exhibit. So we got local artists that created beautifully decorated their style, taking their artistic styles to decorate their own versions of circus wagons that are on display this week and throughout the month of June. And so you get to see styles that are like in the rendition of Ho-Chunk Nation, to children, to community wagons, the whole gamut. So we're really excited for that to be an inclusive part. We also have the Baraboo Concert in the Square tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with Professor Stitch's original circus band, led by a narration with Dave Salutis. He was a former ringmaster from Circus World for a number of years. If you see his face, you just know who he is. He was basically like this face of Baraboo and the Circus World and the Big Top shows. But then, you know, moving on to, we're also, this is a week to celebrate Scott O'Donnell, who is the Grand Marshal for the Big Top Parade on Saturday. He was the director, the leader in charge for a number of years at Circus World, bringing together all sorts of amazing activities, shows, programs, and an amazing individual that has such rich knowledge about circus. He is the definition of circus, in my opinion. And it's exciting to welcome him back home to celebrate all of his work that he's done to promote the circus heritage.
We're talking with Seth Davis, who's coming to us live from
Seth Taft.
Someone I'd say Seth Davis.
Yeah, I don't even know where you got that.
He's a sports guy. I'm sorry. Clearly, Seth, I'm the clown on this show. Yes, we're talking to Seth Taft from downtown Baraboo. He is the manager of Downtown Baraboo, Inc., about the great circus parade coming up on this weekend, all the activities surrounding the circus world in Baraboo. If you haven't been there, if you're listening from other parts of the state, and you want to take a great weekend trip or a day trip, get in the car, go to Baraboo, because it's something for the entire family. Kids are going to love the clowns and the things like that. But Seth, from an adult standpoint, if you go to Circus World, there's this great true museum where you learn all this deep history. And, you know, a lot of people have heard of the Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey, and the deep history in Southwest Wisconsin rooted in Baraboo.
Yes, you know, you nailed it again on the head in terms of this is a lot of family fun. It's for the kids, but also for the kids at heart, and with a lot of rich knowledge and rich history for people to just really let it sink in and understand like where it's gone, where it's grown. You know, it's incredible. You go over to Circus World during its operating hours, check out one of the Big Top shows. Those are pretty frequent during the weekend. Mm-hmm. This is a great, I mean, it's Father's Day weekend too, to boot, right? So get dad to feel young and limber, and maybe he'll get on the trapeze. Who knows?
And it, for those that might not have been there, might have gone to Devil's Lake State Park, which is in the Baraboo area. Of course, the Dells are just north of you guys. But you got Devil's Lake there. You got Mirror Lake State Park in the general vicinity as well. And you have all kinds of great business. Earl Ingram and I were just there last year for Juneteenth. You guys had that great celebration in the park for the first time. It was a beautiful. The weather was a little not so great, but the people made it fantastic, and it was a great. The first of in Baraboo for Juneteenth, and it's a vibrant community. There's history there, but you guys have one of the true downtowns in Wisconsin where you've invested in a downtown square. It's not just a bunch of vacant store buildings. People can spend an entire day there.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You know, we've got just in the downtown business improvement district alone, You know, we're centered around this historic square. I always look at it as like, wow, it feels like a combination of Mayberry from the Andy Griffith Show, or Stars Hollow from Gilmore Girls, or Bedford Falls from It's a Wonderful Life. It's got so much rich history, but a liveliness. It is just living history that continues to grow and evolve with the times. And we are all about small businesses. And so you come down here for boutiques, thrift shopping, great dining. And, you know, it's right. You said it, we're the front door to Devil's Lake State Park. How convenient. One of the busiest state parks in Wisconsin that gets more visitors than Glacier National Park on an annual basis. And so we're proud of what we've got here for downtown Baraboo, how alive it is. And I always like to say, if you can't find something to do in downtown Baraboo, that's on you, because there's always something to do.
Talk to us a little bit about, Seth, about the Al Ringling Theater, one of the probably the gem, in my opinion, of downtown Baraboo. Lots of restoration, lots of work. Tell folks what they can see when they visit that.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that's one of the beautiful gems here, in my opinion. It's like the keystone to downtown Baraboo in terms of how it glistens like a dime, especially when you see that marquee lit up in the evening, the sun setting. It's just top-notch beauty. This beautiful Al Ringling Theater, renovated not too long ago inside, just beautiful, magnificent interior with art, lighting. The stage, actually, some of the staging was refurbished earlier this year just to make it more safe and kosher for upcoming plays and other shows. So you can take tours at the Al Ringling Theater. You can get to see what it is, what the experience is like. Just take in that presence. Also, they're going to be showing Charlie Chaplin's The Circus on Friday evening. So if you want to get a feel for like hearing the organ is still active there. There'll be somebody that'll be playing the organ with the silent showing of Charlie Chaplin's The Circus. Strongly encourage you to check it out. You can find it on their website or on their social media channels on Facebook and Instagram. But really encourage you to come on out, especially on Saturday when the parade is coming through. It goes right in front of that marquee, and it brings the tie together for the Ringling history and heritage for the circus. So make it a valiant effort to find time to take a tour or peek your head inside to see the Outlook Theater.
It's absolutely great. Pam, I'm not sure if it's our colleague Pam works at WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, but one of our great listeners in Wisconsin Rapids named Pam says, we're going to the parade on Saturday, looking forward to it. So there you go. Already people, and you guys get people from all over the state. I bet you there are people that come in from different states for this thing as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we got people that bring their buses in. You know, we have to, because we have so many people, we expect roughly about 20,000 plus in attendance. And with the weather looking pretty good, we're expecting a really high number of visitors this weekend, which does great for our local economy. But we get from all walks of life, from the Twin Cities, the upper Midwest, and some beyond that just are really, let's call them awesome groupies for circuit. They love this
that's
stuff.
A real thing.
It is. And, you know, we got this, International Clown Hall of Fame that's right here that's going to be on the route. It's wonderful to go check that out. So, you know, we've get plenty of visitors here that just, it's a great opportunity to showcase the small town charm. It's illustrious, rich circus history. And big kudos to, I should mention too, the Baraboo Area Chamber of Commerce, the Big Top Parade Committee that really organizes the nuts and bolts behind the scenes, making sure the layout's done, the safety is done with the city of Baraboo and the first responders. They do a lot of this great work to make this an immense, incredible value to the community.
1 minute left here. Seth, run down again, kind of the key notes for the parade of the weekend, please.
You betcha. So we got tomorrow, we got the Tour of Wagons exhibit for art exhibit. So check out 17 participating artists and businesses that are showcasing awesome circus wagons that were painted. We got Baraboo Concert on the Square tomorrow night celebrating circus music. And then on Saturday, we've got some pre-parade entertainment starting at 9 a.m. downtown with marching bands, alumni bands, and a bounce house for kids. And then 11 o'clock, boom, the circus parade takes off with plenty of marching bands, activities, and those historic, vibrant circus wagons on display.
They're absolutely beautiful. Where can people learn more? Is there a website or something we plug for you guys?
Yep. So there's a lot of places you can go scope this out. You can go to bigtopparade.com to get all the content in terms of what's going on with the parade, where you can be, see the parade route and so forth. You can check out Baraboo Area Chamber of Commerce on their social media channels, Downtown Baraboo on our social media channels, and you know, just drop us a line. Go onto our websites and, you know, let us know what you need from us. We're happy to welcome you in.
Seth Taft from Downtown Baraboo, cannot thank you enough for taking time with us. And I highly recommend, rather than focus on that parade out in D.C., go to the great Big Top Parade in Baraboo, Wisconsin this weekend. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Come on back. We'll wrap up the show after this. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and senior county official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP county commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claim that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And last but not least, on the WXCO Morning Report, Chad Holmes sits down with Good News Project Executive Director Christine Daniels, where she opens up about her personal story and the importance of Medicaid to her family.
Welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, and earlier this week I had a long conversation with Executive Director of the Good News Project, Christine Daniels, about the challenges that many of us have in our community. And we continue our discussion talking about some of the challenges that folks have in terms of getting the benefits, the questions, and the hoops you have to go through. And I think another aspect of it is it's not just about you. It's about children and being healthy. If somebody, one of your children is sick, not have to think, can I afford to take my child to the doctor?
Right, exactly. And last night I went grocery shopping and had to get extra things like laundry, detergent, shampoo, conditioner, you know, the basics for your household. And I feel like in the end I came back with very little food. I had some protein and some chicken, but also just the detergents and stuff. And I spent $350. This is for a family of five. So it's me and four kids, and I'm paying over $1,000 a month on feeding my kids and even more on just the basic products. And think about, there are four women in our household. There's three young girls and myself. And there are still taxes on things like feminine products at the state and the federal level. And it's like, really? Like, these are things that you, okay, you want people to work, and yet certain products that you need to be able to work are taxed. They're just so... There are so many things that are just very difficult to navigate and to make happen.
It sounds as though, based on your experiences, that when you hear the discussion, that they're not listening to real people.
They're not listening to real people.
The real issues involved in this. And there are issues involved in it. There is nothing wrong with the discussion, but at least have a discussion that is based on facts. Correct?
And there's layers and layers and layers of it. It's not a simple solution. You can't just say, I'm going to cut Medicaid and then do it the next day and leave people scrambling. Like, if this is, in fact, something that the current administration wants to do, it has to be, honestly, it would have to be rolled out in a longer time period so people can figure out what the heck they're going to do.
Let me ask you to maybe wrap up this part of our discussion, because we're going to turn to the state in a few moments. If there is, because it sounds as though you are kind of on a line. I mean, because if the line is changed in a way that takes away some of these benefits, ultimately, what does it mean to your life?
To my life?
And your family's life.
Of course.
If these benefits were taken away, how much more difficult would your life be?
Ooh. Well, in the current situation with my current employment, which I've had for over 25 years, I would have to find another job. I would have to go to a larger corporation that does provide health insurance benefits so that myself and my kids could have them.
And of course, the work that you do to help individuals and families and communities, that would hurt them.
Yeah.
There is a trickle-down effect, isn't there?
There certainly is a trickle-down effect.
Or domino effect.
And you know, the thing is it because I live on the edge like that, and I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. You know, that's not why I'm talking about this, because I'm an independent, I'm a strong woman, I'm always like, I got this. At the end of the day, if those benefits get cut and I still have to spend $1,000 plus in groceries, I will be going to places like the neighbor's place to get food for my family. Now, if you think about that, if you think of how many people live right on the line like I do, and yet nutrition and Medicaid benefits are on the chopping block, and how many more people are going to need those services, and yet how fewer funds these nonprofits have, and these are the safety net of our society and our community, there's going to be a really big problem in our community, Chad.
And I guess my final statement to you is I do appreciate it, and I'm sure many people appreciate it, that you are talking about this, because it, I think, underlines the fact that when I go to the supermarket, when you go to the supermarket, when you walk around downtown Wausau, we wouldn't say, oh, Christine Daniels, executive director of the Good News Project, is on this line where you need some of the safety net benefits that we have in our society. You don't know.
Exactly.
And it's about humanity. The bottom line is.
And you know, there's a lot of stigma around it. You know how guilty I've felt for over 10 years that I'm on Medicaid? Like, you feel guilty, and you're made to feel guilty by people who aren't on it, to be like, oh, well, you're sucking all of this out of our community and out of the pockets of people who can make it. And so it is, it's very humbling. And honestly, this is the first time I've ever talked about it.
To be honest with you, I'm actually getting a little emotional here, because when you think back to being a child, you don't remember everything. But I remember being 8, 7 years old when my dad lost his job. And we were on food stamps. Mm-hmm. And I still remember going into the store and having my dad pay with food stamps. And even as a child, you have that feeling of people looking at you.
Yeah.
And it stays with you.
It does.
I mean, what you just said brought me back 45 years, 46 years, back in the late 1970s. When you hear the discussions, I guess to wrap it up, think about the people. Think about not that, because, and as you said, I forget what the word was, insulting, when you hear the talk that basically frankly, they make it sound like everybody that gets the benefits are lazy.
Right.
That they aren't working.
And I work so hard.
I know you do.
And I'm sure your parents worked so hard. And it's like you just can't catch a break.
When you talk about your family with four kids, my family had four kids. I mean, I know how hard it is when you have a larger family, too.
And the thing is I have very smart kids, and they're emotionally intelligent children.
Yeah.
And I just graduated one, and she wants to be a doctor. So tell me, say she becomes a doctor, which this kid is so driven. She'll do anything she sets her mind to being. But look at how just a couple generations before her, because she had the health care that she needed, she is going to be able to provide health care to people in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how it works, and this is how it should work. You help one another get to the point of where our community can support one another and be good and kind to one another.
We will have more of my talk with Christine Daniels Monday morning on this program, but also go to WXCO.fm under my blog, and you'll be able to hear unedited the entire conversation, some 37 minutes that I had with Christine Daniels earlier this week.
To learn more about these shows and all of the programming across the Civic Media Network, head over to civicmedia.us/shows to see the entire broadcast lineup. Follow the network on Facebook, Blue Sky, YouTube, X, and Instagram to keep up with Civic Media.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Daylight is running out in the Minnesota search for the suspect who assassinated a state lawmaker and her husband and seriously wounded another Democratic lawmaker and his wife 8 miles away. Senator Amy Klobuchar worries for the names found in the gunman's manifesto.
Planned Parenthood and a number of other places and leaders who have advocated in favor of women's rights. They were on there.
No indication this third day of the Israeli-Iran war that it'll be the last. No nuclear talks, no peace talks. A U.S. official told the Associated Press that Israel was planning to kill Iran's supreme leader, but President Trump vetoed that. The travel ban might get bigger. The Trump administration is considering 36 additional countries, mostly in Africa, but some in the Caribbean, Antigua, Barbuda, St. Kitts, and Nevis, and St. Lucia. This is ABC News.